Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yeah, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician and an addiction medicine specialist.
Yeah.
What's going on?
What's happening?
Get it on. Whew, finally got some rain in this town.
Yeah.
Nice. We needed it.
Don't we? We always need it.
We needed it.
Except it was a weird rain tonight. It was mist. It wasn't a rain. It's almost like insulting. It's like, what? Hey, we're used to rain here.
Yeah, what is this? Yeah, I hate this. It's like pre-com or something.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. It'd be horrible, by the way. You know, they do that. There's always that a-hole at the office, you know. It's like, yeah, it's raining outside, man. I could barely get in. Well, yeah, I know, but we needed it. Yes. Water's important to the planet. I'm not, all I'm saying is 405 was jacked up. Yeah, but we needed it. Yeah. Thanks, Dillweed.
Feel much better.
There we go.
So, Adam, I brought you a hat. After 45 minutes of hat talk last night, I brought you a hat.
I just thought, you know, we brought it up last night. I'm a baseball hat guy. I wear a baseball hat.
Except, strangely, tonight you're not. First night in about a... Oh, there you go.
I got my beanie.
Okay, all right.
I wear hats constantly because I have a Brillo-y hat.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a Brillo...
I never noticed that. Really?
I didn't notice.
Oh, shocking.
Wow. If you have a Brillo head, you must put gel in your hair before you leave the house. Otherwise, you look like Danny Partridge from the 70s.
Yeah.
So I don't want to put gel in my head because I only shower a couple times a week, and your head gets all crunchy and it gets all weird. It's weird.
Yeah, it's greased.
So what I like doing is washing my hair, and then I just put my beanie on, and then I got the weird dried up Brillo head, so I got to wear a beanie. I get thousands of free hats. One of the things you get in this business is tote bags and hats. I don't know where you're going with these tote bags, but they're trying to get you the F out of Dodge with these things.
Really?
Like, here. It's kind of a weird message. Here's a tote bag. I'm not going. Take the tote bag. Well, I'm not going anywhere. Take it. Take the hat, the booze, and the tote bag and skedaddle. So they give you a lot of tote bags, and in those tote bags are these hats. And I love a baseball hat, but I love a baseball hat. Not that weird gay 80s golfer hat, the weird Andre Agassi from the late 80s, the kind
it's
that
like
have
a tennis hat or something.
Yeah, they don't.
There's no forehead.
Instead of the front of the cap sticking almost straight up, they lean. Well, they look like the hood of a Corvette.
They're in a direct line with the
bill. Yes.
Yes, they're in the direct line with the bill.
Yeah, this is boom, aerodynamic. Yeah. I mean, look, if you're talking about cheating the wind, this is the hat for you. Yeah. Drew, put it on.
Oh, it looks like hell.
Engineer Michelle, look how gay.
How gay can I look?
Dr. Drew looks.
Very gay.
I look it's called microcephaly.
Your head look really small.
Pinhead, yeah.
Yeah. They're horrible, and then they have those horrible flat cloth straps in the back that aren't worth a monkey's ass. And I was just screaming last night, why do they keep making these? Who wears these? But, who likes these?
And I could wait. You put this on. I can understand for a woman that they're okay.
No,
they're okay.
No,
but for a male, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So let's look.
No, let's see what Michelle looks like.
You can buy it. You know what I'm saying?
The weird strap thing. Okay. So I was really angry about it, and I decided that three quarters of the hats I have in my closet are these crappy giveaway with the flat hemmed material in the back and the weird hasp in the back, and why can't everyone make normal ones? And then I got exasperated because Engineer Chris had never heard of this kind of hat.
Well, he didn't know what you were talking about. That doesn't mean he's never seen it.
Okay. All right. Still, bigger insult. Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge insult when people do that thing where they go, I probably know what you're talking about. I just don't understand what you're saying. Oh, thank you. I got to go kill myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's good as a communicator.
Yeah, I don't play the harp. You understand? I use my mouth.
How about that half circle hole in the back?
Yeah, the half circle hole that Anderson then pointed out.
Let's see.
Now, I know what Anderson is talking about, but that ain't it. Okay, let's
go. What is he talking about?
He's talking about the... He's talking about
this?
The half circle hole.
Yeah, I was talking about the location of the cheap
this.
Stuff.
Yeah.
This.
Right. Yeah, he's talking about the cutout.
Don't all hats have something?
Yeah, but I was talking about the location.
Now we're more confused.
Yeah, forget it.
All right, let's keep moving.
Here we go.
All right, here we go.
Way to go. Paul?
Yeah.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up?
Got a relationship question.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I recently got back from deployment not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, throughout my whole, like, military experience, that's all I've been having was, like, booty calls and all that. I can't get past, like, you know, the relationship, you know, part. That's what I'm looking for now, and I don't know, like...
Have you ever had a relationship, a girlfriend?
Yeah.
When was the last time you had one?
Back in high school.
And how long did that last for?
8 months.
And where are you meeting girls now?
Bars, you know, whatever.
Bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
People don't necessarily look for a relationship.
Where were you deployed?
I was over in Kuwait. I did 2 tours over there.
Is a tour always 1 year?
Not really. Like, in the Navy, your deployment's only supposed to be like 6 months minimum, so but it always ended up being like 9 months, and then I left the ship.
Whoa. Hold on. So a tour would be 6 months?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's
is a tour and a deployment the same thing?
Yeah, basically.
All right. So you, like in Vietnam, a tour was 1 year.
Right.
Maybe the Army has different things.
So, well, he said he's in the Navy.
I know. He's a 6 months in the Navy.
Oh, I see. And the Navy, it's usually 6 months. So you were there like 18 months?
Well, first I was over there for like 7 months, but I kind of switched jobs while I was over there. So they
From what to what, out of curiosity?
I was a bosun's mate.
Oh. Drew, everyone's a bosun's mate. Do you realize that? Remember I said that?
Yeah.
There's nobody in the Navy. The Admiral Nimitz is a bosun's mate. Yeah. And no one exactly knows what that is exactly.
I know what it isn't, though.
We know what it isn't. That's right. It's one of those process of elimination.
Not a fighter pilot.
Doesn't work in the engine room.
Right. Not
the guy
on
the deck with the flags.
Right.
So Paul, you were on a ship. What kind of ship?
I was an amphibious transport dock ship.
Mm-hmm. And well, see, this is better than being in the dirt, freaked out every time a car pulls up next to you, right?
Well, yeah, but I was in the dirt the second time I was there, so.
Oh, what'd you transfer into?
I was a CB the second time around. So
ooh, what's that?
Construction battalion.
Oh,
there we go.
Fighting CBs.
You know
what do they do? Build bridges and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but they got to fight too.
Fight their way into build the stuff.
Well, let me explain. No, they don't fight their way in. But like, you know, let's say you're taking over an island.
Yeah.
In Japanese waters.
Right,
you know.
Right.
And the CBs, construction battalion. They got to come in there and make a landing strip.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're trying to make a landing strip, but they're getting shot at.
Wow.
Now, they didn't overtake the island, per se. They may have been involved with
the
campaign.
Yet. Right.
Well, not yet, but I mean, the Marines and whoever takes the island.
I see.
Then they come in and start working, but there's still some pockets of hostility.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you got a hammer in one hand and a M1 in the other.
Nice.
That's me.
That's how you work. That's how you did carpentry, isn't it?
That's how we work.
Yeah.
Hammer in one hand. And an M1 in the other.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, that. Could you get any more manly than that?
I don't think so.
What's more manly than that? What are you doing? Oh, I take three swings of the hammer, then I fire a couple of rounds, then I take a few more swings of the hammer, then I fire a few more rounds again.
We'll talk to our manly buddy, Paul.
All right, buddy. Paul?
Yeah.
What were you guys building?
Well, my battalion was over there. They, rebuilt like police precincts, schools for the Iraqi children.
Mm-hmm.
We also helped build like the longest bridge in CB history. You know, fun stuff like that.
That was 12 feet, by the way. They don't have that rich a history, I got to be honest.
Actually, it was 11 feet, 11 inches. There you go.
All right, almost 12. I round up. All right, so now, so you did that, and that was hostile. Shots being fired?
Yeah, shots fired, explosions. You know, some, like, what we thought were chemical attacks, so we, you know, had to get in our gear and everything.
No.
Nice.
That would be the world's worst Marine or CB
in 110-degree heat.
I mean, it'd be 121 degrees.
Oh, man, would you whine? Oh,
first
my
off,
God.
I would have been whining anyway. Then all of a sudden you hear some siren going off or something, and it'd be like, I don't know if this is a drill or not, but we're going to need you to get in the hazmat suit. I'd be like... Oh, for the love of Christ. Look, is it a... Even if it's not... look, I'll have a little heads up. I mean, I'll see the cloud coming, right?
Well, you're
I
like,
mean,
I'd rather go than put the suit on.
Yeah, the mustard gas not going to be so bad. Yeah. Drew knows firsthand because once when we were traveling, some kid let off the fire alarm about 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
There was Drew. I could see him through the window
yep.
of my
there was Adam
snuggly
laughing
warm
like
room.
A maniac.
Everyone filed out on the lawn of the hotel, and I just sat in my room. I was like, I ain't going out there. It's too late. And I thought, here's what I thought. If push comes to shove, I'm going to throw this chair through this window, and I'll jump out. It's two stories. I'll make it. I mean, I'll F myself up, but I'll make it.
Yep.
But once I decided I will live.
You slept.
No, I watched you on the lawn in your bathrobe for 15 minutes, and then went to sleep with a smile on my face. Yeah, nothing better than seeing everybody. You want to sleep good? You want to feel good about yourself? Don't worry about a down comforter. Have everybody in the hotel pile out onto the front lawn in the middle of winter at 4:30 in the morning, and you watch them through your window.
Nice.
That makes you sleep well. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah,
think about the relative part of life.
Yeah.
All right,
gratifying
Paul.
Envy, that's called. Anyway.
Yeah, thank you. So you want to meet chicks?
Well, I mean, it's not hard for me to meet chicks. I mean, I could go up to anybody. It seems like, you know, like my friends would use me to go up, you know, to all these girls and everything. And then as soon as
wow.
I go to the bathroom or something,
Hunky.
They throw their game down.
Say the crucial block word. I don't know if you can say C block. I don't know if you can say C ring. C block just sounds like a bad prison, you know?
Movie.
Where are you at, C block? Oh, man, that's yeah. rough. What'd you do?
So he's C, got C
I'm
block.
I'm over at C ring. Oh,
C
that's
block
brutal.
While in the John. Nice.
No, no, no.
Yeah, he said he went to the bathroom and they
yeah, he's just saying he's so good looking and so charismatic that he'll draw the ladies in and then go to the bathroom. And his buddies will jump in. All right. I'm starting to think Paul's a D-head. Thinking about the C-blocking. All right, look, Paul, you're back. You got a world of experience under your belt. Don't go to the bars. I agree with Drew.
Have the friends set you up.
Just get going in your life. I mean, look, it sounds trite, but do what you want to do, whatever your work is,
what
whatever
is your
passions
what
are.
What is it? What are you going to do?
What's that?
What are you going to do for work now?
I work in construction right now.
Oh, how does he meet women that way?
No, you don't meet women in that. Here's the chick. The only chick you see in construction is the fat Mexican chick who works on the Roach Coach.
Right.
You start falling in love with her.
On the road, you mean the food
yeah,
wagon?
Yeah, Marisol was mine.
I got
an erection every time they honk that horn. Yeah, you do. That's the hottest chick you'll see.
So
that will be
do?
The only and the hottest chick you'll see in construction is the husky Mexican chick working in the Roach Coach.
So what does he do? He lives in Pittsburgh. They don't have Mexicans there.
They don't? I got to get out. I mean, oh. Paul?
Yeah.
You don't have Mexicans there?
Not really.
Who does the construction work? Who does all the masonry work?
I don't know. I do concrete.
Oh, that's masonry work, though, isn't it?
Well, I'm not really laying block or brick. It's, you know, sidewalks, pads, you know,
yeah.
bases for the buildings and stuff.
Yeah, still consider that. That's a mason. You're being the Masons Union if you're in the union, right?
If.
I'm not in the union.
Yeah. Right, right, but you're mason. I'm telling you. So, okay, point is all right, all right.
Don't do it.
All right.
Don't go there.
All right. Who does all the masonry work? I couldn't tell you. I do concrete work. Yeah, that's masonry. Okay, I thought he was going to say, you know, I do the home theater.
Framing, yeah,
I do
yeah.
the home theater systems in the house. I do the air filtration. No, he's a mason.
Yeah.
All right. Michelle,
well,
look,
who does
look
it?
Up mason.
Well,
I got white guys over there.
Huh.
All right. I would find that distracting. I like my Latin brethren. You know why? They're not chatty. They mind their business. They go to work. You know what I mean? They don't talk to you about all the chicks they could have nailed and all the C-blocking.
Yeah.
All right.
Good point.
Paul's a little bit of a D-head.
Yes.
But we're glad he served the country and all that stuff.
He just needs to settle down.
He's so full of his crap.
Spend a little
he's 23.
Time. Yeah, stop. He's 23. Relax.
And
spend a little time.
Stop treating women like they're souvenirs.
Yeah.
just go find one you like, who treat her like a human being, and see where it goes.
And then maybe you want to focus on your career a little bit and figure out what it is you do want to do. Something that you actually know what you are.
Got to get in that union. Jenny, it's great doing foundation work in January in Pittsburgh.
Well, I was going to say, which would be worse, being one of those CB units
the Pittsburgh gigs.
Yeah.
Worse. Jenny?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up, baby?
Well, like, my ex-boyfriend, I've been kind of still sleeping with him off and on. And every time we do something, it always hurts. Like, it's uncomfortable.
Probably because you're nervous and anxious. You're having sex with a guy that you know isn't interested in you.
Well, actually, my baby's daddy.
Yeah, but he's not interested in... Yeah, that changes everything.
Well, if he sired a child, then he's going to be there long term. As you know from listening to the show, there's nobody who calls in that doesn't have a father, loving father.
No child left behind.
No, none should be left behind. Okay, so
he's your baby's dad. I gave him up for adoption.
Oh, you did? God. Yeah.
Jenny?
They'll send you out a windbreaker, baby.
Statue in Oklahoma City in your honor.
That's right.
No.
Okay. Jenny.
Yes.
So, do you have one of those open adoptions?
Yes, I do.
No.
I think she said no.
We're being facetious, but all seriousness, you ought to be congratulated giving that child a chance when you're not ready to be a mom. That's fantastic. Now, so you have nothing keeping you with this guy. So even though you guys had a child together, there's no child that you're rearing together. He is merely having sex with you. He doesn't care about you. He's not interested in you. And you, on some level, must know that, make you nervous, and that gives you a little bit of muscle spasm down there, makes it hurt.
Mm.
Okay.
Or it's because you got raped when you were 9.
Well.
Actually, I have gotten raped before, but I was 17.
Well, but that usually means there was some sexual abuse before that.
I got molested growing up by my grandpa.
There we go.
How old were you?
Completes the cycle.
I was around seven or eight when it started.
Yep. I can hear the 7-year-old.
I went with 9. Yeah. Well, there you go, baby.
Thank you.
Wait.
You got to get some help with
that. Here's the deal. You were sexually abused. You've been rendered a victim of that. That's why somebody took advantage of you when you were an adolescent. Now you found a nice, abandoning, neglectful a-hole to try to long for, and he's not there. It's not him. You've got to have a real relationship. Now, whether you could handle a real relationship or not remains to be seen. And if you can't, you need some help with that.
Well, actually, I got into a serious relationship where we were talking about getting married and everything, and I got scared. And
that's what I'm saying.
I started making any reason to kind of...
Right, you sabotage. That's what I'm saying, Jenny. When you've been abused like you have, you will find reasons to sabotage a real relationship. The fact that you're able to have one is nice, that you could even get in, but now you've got to figure out a way to stay.
Okay.
All right.
You'd rather go back and have sex with a guy who care about you.
And listen, everybody, you know, you always do that. Oh, you always put words in their mouth. They call, they want to know about their boyfriend, and then you're like, you were molested. And they're like, no, I wasn't. And then you're like, yes, you were. And then they're like, okay, can I ask my question? Kiss my ass, all you people. When people get this vaginismus stuff or this clampdown action, it's because something happened. It doesn't say anything on the screen about her and her grandpa or any of this, rape, anything. We just can tell.
Yeah.
And she needs to address that. You guys want us to talk about why she's clamping down on the thing? That is not the problem, and it can be cured by her working on this aspect of it.
Now, even though we know we're right here, I should say she also should see a gynecologist, get a pap smear, and make sure they're not something anatomical or infectious going on causing a problem.
Grandpa raping you at 7 and 8 will do it. Hold on a second, Drew. I'm angry now. So she's got to get some therapy.
Yeah.
Let me say this. I was driving in tonight, and you know how I go ballistic on these big, expensive freeway signs we have?
Yeah.
Big electronic billboard freeway signs.
That give us tons of useful information every night?
Yeah, now, ironically, all they do is slow traffic down because they give those amber alerts.
Yeah.
And half those amber, I wouldn't say half. I'll make it 3/4 of those amber alerts is drunken dad going over and collecting daughter to spend a night at his apartment after a little blowout with the ex-old lady.
Absolutely.
We got to stop the traffic. I'm fine with the amber alert thing. Kid goes missing, fire up the sign. Good idea. Let everyone know to look out, in this case, for a Honda with a broken rear window.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Those signs were not put there for that. They were there to alert you as to the traffic conditions, which, ironically, they never do, as was the case on last night or the night before when I was driving home and my off-ramp was completely shut off and I had to be diverted to get off the freeway and so on and so forth. Why can't they tell you that the off-ramp,
well,
that,
clearly,
that the westbound, yes, 101 from the 110 is closed?
Clearly they can tell you.
Obviously,
but they'd rather
can tell you.
They'd rather taunt you with information about freeways in the next county. They'd rather tell you about the DeVore Pass, the El Toro Y. Just in case you're going to be on the road for an hour and a half, you might want to plan ahead.
Here's the thing. I know Ernst Stein and me complain, but you understand, we spent millions of dollars, millions, for these big, highfalutin, electronic...
It was for the 84 Olympics.
...freeway signs. Yeah. Yes, but they've put many up since then.
You're right.
They are black as the back of the goddamn moon every effing night. Except for if some kid gets abducted, in which case they fire up immediately. And by the way, this stuff didn't happen 2 weeks ago. It happened that evening.
Yeah.
Right. Pow. Immediately. Lit up. Good. That's a good use for them. The original use was to tell me that the off-ramp is closed and I'll not be getting off the 110 and I'll be diverted into downtown L.A. at 1 a.m. where I can get off and get on some surface streets and circle around when I could have easily just got off on an off-ramp earlier and cut across the way I would have wanted to go. But no, they don't fire up the signs for that. Who and when is my question? You guys, but here, let me ask you this, Drew. Is it some rogue team of road workers that have set out on their own to deal with this ramp on 12 midnight on Monday night?
Yeah.
Come on, buddy, we're going to take care of that ramp. Shouldn't we alert the boss? No way, Stooley. We're going. We need an explosives expert. We need a knife thrower. We need a computer hacker and a beautiful face woman to.
What's Fomke Jensen doing?
Yeah, we got to get her back. No, you guys have scheduled this a month in advance. How about you tell the guys who work the thing? Tell the guy that works the sign. I pass 8 of the goddamn signs on the way to the off-ramp that's closed so I can't get on my freeway. Nobody wants to fire the sign up.
Nobody. I think the ultimate irony, though, is
what?
That,
but, Drew, is there anything under the sun? I mean, could you think of a reason?
Let's think about it. It's probably Caltrans that operates the sign. So their guys out on the road doing construction, that's the one they will not fire it up for.
This town is just one pack of just mongoloidian retards, and I don't know who's running it or who's in charge or who's in... What are they doing? All right, but... Serious priority on stopping people with no front license plate.
Oh, yeah.
No other infraction, but no front license plate. That, job one, baby.
Job effing one. Parking tickets, job one.
Pulling over motorists with no front license plate, job two. And alerting people as the conditions on the freeway. I would say it's job 500, but they don't do it at all. So I don't know if it even gets the word job in front of it unless you put blow in front of that. Idiots. What? Who runs things in this town? Is there anybody? Who's in charge? What goes on? I've talked to cops about it. I'm like, what's going on once you turn the sign on? And we don't know who does that. Nobody knows. Nobody. I'm going to pack my car full of explosives and drive right. And that's where you're going to find me, Drew.
Blown up.
You know, well, here's what happens. I'm going to get diverted off the freeway in the middle of the night after passing 10 of these signs that didn't tell me anything about it. Then I load the car up with dynamite and I just drive it right into one
City
of the
Hall.
Signs.
Sign.
Now I'm going in the sign.
Okay.
Yeah, and it'll be gone, but it won't matter. It'll just be one less Amber Alert.
On a happier note, iPod Shuffle. We're giving one away again tonight. 20 free tunes from iTunes. If you hear the song Numb Encore by Linkin Park and Jay-Z, which I promise will be played as a bumper coming out of commercial within the next hour or so, dial 1-800-LOVE-191 and be the first person to say iPod Shuffle, and you win.
Fantabulous.
Let's go to break.
All right, we'll be back after this. Yeah. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Here we go. Stay with the calls.
Right,
here we go.
Right,
focus.
All right.
Break it down.
All right. Amanda?
Yeah?
16?
Yeah.
Boyfriend's a virgin?
Yeah.
You're experienced?
Yes, I am.
What does that mean?
That means that I've had a lot of sexual encounters in the past.
With one guy? Multiple guys?
Multiple guys.
How many guys?
About 8.
Mm-hmm. 16?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she said eight. Come on, Drew.
But what's all the... What's the hurry?
Well, what...
I'm having problems with, like... Yeah, I just really want to just have him get down my pants, but I don't know. I don't want to, like, take his virginity and make him regret it, because I kind of regret losing mine, so I feel bad.
There is not a male on Earth that regrets losing his virginity. So that's not the deal.
Regret it didn't happen a little earlier.
Right. The males do not get that experience.
11-year-old guys are pissed they had to wait that long.
Right, right. So now you may not want the responsibility of the sort of attachment he gets to you. That certainly can happen sometimes where guys get really attached. And that can be problematic.
Yeah, the virgin guys get clingy.
Well, my past relationships were really bad, and I haven't
What's going on? Why all these partners? Why all these bad relationships?
Well, each guy that I get with says that they're going to treat me right, or I just like this guy, but I know he's not going to treat me right, and he even admits it. But I.
All right, so why are you attracted to a-holes?
I don't know. I just grew up with them, so.
We think you grew up before high school with them, like in your family.
Yeah.
Your dad was an a-hole, right?
Yeah.
What did he do to you?
Oh, he didn't really do anything. He just, I don't know. He tells me all this stuff. Like, he's really rude and tells me, you can't do this. And he'll, like, threaten me instead of, you know, explain why.
Well, just explain to him that now that he's sort of indoctrinated you in that fashion, you find idiots and jerks incredibly attractive.
Yeah, and he hasn't really been in my life that much. Like, when I was little, I'd see him for an hour every weekend. If likely, like,
all right.
Well, you strike me, Amanda, as an excellent candidate for treatment. I got to tell you, because the ones that are really trauma survivors give us that hostility feeling. I don't get that from Amanda.
No.
So that means if she could just form a stable attachment to a therapist, there's hope for her that you might then also find nice guys, reasonable guys.
My last therapist said I was a nympho, so I really don't like him.
All right. Well, that's that.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing you can do then.
Well, I just want to know how long I should wait until we have sex. Like
3 days.
3 days?
3 days.
Okay. Because we've been going out for about 2 days.
I know, but 3 days, but I didn't get to finish. That's after May 1st.
Okay.
All right, so that would be the 4th of May?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 4th of May.
Now, here's the deal, Amanda.
All right. She doesn't like her shrink. She called her a nympho. Everyone just forget it. Then don't do anything. I like when people have bad run-ins with the shrink, and that's it.
It's not even a bad run-in. You're just telling her she's sexually compulsive, which she is.
Yeah,
I'm sure
he used the term nympho.
Right, because there's that word. Please get her back on here. I've got to work a little bit. Amanda.
Yeah.
The term nympho doesn't mean anything. So what did your therapist actually say to you?
She said that I have sex too much and that I use it to, like, because I blame my father and stuff. And she says that I just have sex all the time for no apparent reason.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so your therapist knew what she was talking about, so.
Yeah.
So all you right, use her telling you what's really going on in your life as a reason to abandon her? Now, maybe she didn't show skill in terms of exposing you to this stuff a little more, in more tolerable doses. You know, maybe she should have been a little jet. But the fact is, she's right. And if you don't do something about this, you're going to be, I mean, this is going to be bad times for you, Amanda.
Yeah, you're
smart. I know. Well, I haven't had sex for 4 months.
Oh, well, that's different then. Go right ahead then.
I don't know.
You're missing the whole point.
Yeah, like, just stick with the virgin guy and then make sure you sabotage it a little bit later. Okay? Get him out of there.
Because that's what you'll do.
Make sure you let him know how many guys you were with.
Oh, he knows. He knows everything.
Drive
nutty. He told me he doesn't want to have sex until I feel I'm ready, but the problem is I don't feel he's ready.
Yeah, well, all right. Whatever.
Hey, you don't really Amanda, how about you just give guys breaks? How about you take a little break from guys in general?
I've been doing that for 4 months, and it's so long.
How about you study and make friends or something?
Do something productive for you.
All right. Look, let me explain what's wrong with all you nutty broads out there. You don't like women. You don't have friends. Mm-hmm. And so men just become your sort of, you know, your opiate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
absolutely
it. Daddy abuses you a little bit. Daddy doesn't pay attention to you. And now everyone has to pay attention to you, mm-hmm. and you become some sort of cup with no bottom on it. Mm-hmm. Just you can't take. There's no, you'll never be filled up.
You only feel good when the penis is in you, and that's it. That moment.
That's right.
Otherwise, you feel empty.
And now I don't even know if it's that part. It's the part where the guy wants to put his penis in you.
Right, right.
That feels so good, and then it's off to the next stooge, and you sabotage, and then once in a while, somebody like Drew tells you to get a little therapy, and you mock it. And eventually you just get pregnant and you get walked out on, you get a kid, and then you pass that screwed up gene to the kid and you have the kid up, and so it goes.
Or you get to have a nice daughter and you've now married an a-hole guy so she can be acted upon by your a-hole husband.
Yeah.
And repeat the cycle.
It's perfect. So here's what I'm saying, everyone. Don't even try. Just keep doing what you're doing. That's all I'm saying. Tiffany?
Yeah?
Hold on a second. I was saying, I was yelling at my friend the Wheeze yesterday that, you know, everyone you know that's worth an S has changed in some way, shape, or form. It's as a human being, it's really the greatest gift.
Were you telling the
Wheeze to change? I was telling him the friends we have that aren't doing so well are the ones that have changed the least. And as human beings, really the one thing that really separates you from the animal world is the change part.
The growth.
The growth part. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, otters don't need to grow, polar bears don't need to grow, and even if they needed to, they couldn't really do anything about it. They just can't. They're so locked into their biology that they just can't, instinctual biology, they just can't. They got to hibernate during this time, and they got to forage for berries during that time, and they got to hump during this time.
Right,
and then they got to fight, and then they die, and that's about it.
Yeah.
As a human, you have all the biology too, but you get the part where you get to go, no, I'm not going to make this mistake again.
Right.
And you could actually not do it.
Right.
Nobody, or seemingly nobody, wants to take advantage of that, what I think is an incredible opportunity. They just want to sweep it under and just go back to basically, once you're just a salmon at a certain point.
Yeah, they just want to feel good in the moment. Just need to feel better now.
Yeah, you're no different than an animal at that point.
Mm-hmm.
People, take advantage of the fact that you can metamorphosize. You can do anything you want. Probably not going to do it, but theoretically, you can.
Mm-hmm.
You can take, you can treat your life like a gin rummy hand, discarding the cards that don't work and collecting the ones that do.
Ooh.
That's how you got to treat it. You're looking at your cards, and you go, don't
such
need this one, do need that one. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you get a killer hand going.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody starts off that way. Rarely get it dealt to you. Get, you know, what do you got? 9, 12 cards? How many cards do you have in gin?
The 12?
Well, let's just say. They deal out like the whole deck, I think. The point is you got 12 cards, 7 of them are going to suck. That's how it works. You start kicking them out. You people don't want to kick them out. You hang on to them and defend them. Oh, yeah, I need the 3 of spades. Really? Doesn't look like it. I'm hanging on to it.
That reminds me of my dad.
Yeah. Then when I tell you to discard it, you get angry and grab it even tighter and defend it.
You know what you're talking about.
Right.
I'm leaving.
Listen, you're human beings. You're not animals. We can change. We can get better. Yes?
Yeah, just getting them to do the change.
All right.
Oh, man. Wow. And sustain the change.
I'll tell you, when I'm home tonight, drinking my red wine and beating off in the sink, I'm going to be thinking about how pathetic you guys are.
Now, speaking of pathetic. You've sort of broadened out your sink experience there.
Oh, being off?
It's peeing in the sink.
Yeah,
we got up to speed with that last night, but now you're beat off. You're going to start crapping.
No,
this
I
thing.
Don't. Start.
Oh, dude. Oh, no.
Yeah, you should see the Arrow bathroom.
Oh,
oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Left a nice present for Uncle Joe.
Nice.
In there, yeah. No, I don't. This sink is not attached. It's a sink I carry around.
See.
I have a like the soda vendors at the ball game. I actually have a sink that just traps onto my waist with a shoulder harness. I actually walk around with it
behind you.
No, it's in front of me.
Oh, the sink for you to pee and beat off in. I see.
Yeah, it's not attached to anything.
Where's the drain
anymore.
Go?
Just down.
That's good.
I'm not sure. Just down.
Just down the drain.
Just it'll vents onto my slippers. Mm. The point is, it's a mobile sink. It's about 70 pounds. It's porcelain. You ready to roll here, Drew?
Here you go.
Let's take some calls. Let's go, buddy. Let's go. Let's break it down. Tiffany?
Yeah?
What's happening?
Well, I'm dating this guy in the Army, and I've dated him for about 2 months, but I've only spent like a total of 2 weeks with him. and he wants to get married, and I'm considering it, but everybody's telling me it's a bad idea. And like,
how old is he?
22.
And you've been together with him for 2 weeks?
No, I've seen him a total of 2 weeks. I've been with him for like 2 months.
Yeah, do not get married after seeing somebody for 2 weeks. That's ridiculous.
Especially if he's in the military.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
Military or not, spend a little time finding out who
true.
He is.
I know you don't like to make fun of the military guys, but listen.
Like, I don't know if I can live with him.
You don't know these guys, and they don't know you, and they go away for a year, and then they come back. You don't recognize them.
Right.
You don't have any. You have no. You know. You sent a few emails back and forth and built a dream.
Right.
A camouflage dream, ooh. Drew. Heavy. Yeah. Yeah. Well, where are you escaping? What are you looking to get away from?
I don't know.
What's
don't
going
know.
On in your home? What's going on in your home that you want to get out of there so fast?
I'm actually living on my own, but just.
How's that going?
Recently.
How's that it's going?
Stressful.
Why?
But I always have, I don't know, like, but I just got a relationship, too, with a guy for, like, 3 years.
Just got out of the relationship?
Yeah, that's how I met this guy. I met him when I was dating the other guy.
How do you support yourself?
I have a job.
Oh, Adam, make note.
Oh, really?
Support yourself with a job.
Oh.
I walk door to door.
She walks door.
Uh-oh.
I walk door to door. I support myself, Drew, by making those paper footballs and flicking them through guys who are holding their fingers up like goalposts.
Yeah, you would never.
She has a job.
You never stoop to a job.
She has a job?
Oh, that's weird. A job.
How do you support yourself with a job, huh? Tiffany?
Yeah.
Tell us more about this job thing you have.
It's a water softening company, and I get water samples from people's houses, and I make pretty good money.
No. Go door to door. They give you the water. You say, you know, this is hard water. This is a high calcium thing.
You
and
put a little then, chemical in there that pulls the minerals out.
And then you talk about how the wash will come out better, how their shower, they really, it makes things work, like your shampoo hasn't been working. Then it gets activated. yeah, Tiffany, have you ever sampled anyone's water and went, checks out?
That's fine.
I'm going to keep going.
Wait, what?
Have you ever sampled anyone's water and had it check out and
be okay?
Didn't try to sell
actually,
them anything?
I don't sample the water. I take the water and then we have reps that do it. I just take the water and then I leave. I get their number and we call them back.
Ah.
And they sample it at the house. And I mean, it meets all of the city standards, but you know, your water can always be better.
Yeah.
Okay. Always can always be better.
Okay. All right. Well, look, you got a decent job. Do you have female friends?
No, not really. I don't like girls.
I know. I was talking about this earlier. You girls need friends.
You do. You have to learn to love.
Every guy I'm friends with is two-faced. Like, you can't trust them. I trust guys a lot more.
Yeah.
Well, you got to learn to accept women with their flaws.
I do accept them, and then they stab you in the back.
Yeah, accept them with their flaws, and try to sustain friendships through adversity.
Look, everybody, especially those, I speak for myself here, who aren't particularly close with their family. Your friends, man, that's everything. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
You build a self based on relationships. That's how that happens. And if you don't have a close intimate family system, you have to develop intimate relationships in order to build the systems in your brain for regulating emotions.
Drew's not a friend guy. But Drew's weird. Drew likes people. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't have any friends. It's strange. It's weird. But now, on the other hand, your family's a pain in the ass, but they're close, intrusively close, cheaply intrusively close. But the point is you're a weird batch because you have a family that's like intact and is sort of present but a little intrusive. So you went outside the house and you had friends, but you don't really have friends in a traditional male sense.
Yeah.
You have, you know, there's like couples you go out to eat with, and there's, you know, you have acquaintances and stuff like that, but you don't really have buddies, even though you had buddies growing up, and maybe they weren't buddies like that.
No,
kind
they were
thick as thieves buddies.
Not the way you were, but kind of, yeah, were.
So maybe your family wasn't effed up enough to send you out into the streets and really like a hookup. Because see, when you have broken, effed up families, guys just band together. They become like a team.
There's another
thing. That's where gangs
come in. You know what some of this, too, is that you stick with whoever you were with. Circa 16 to 22, those are your male buddies. And those are the guys you go to. Those are your go-to guys.
Right.
Mine are all over the country.
Yeah.
I get to see him once every 10 years or something.
Yeah.
And when we're together, it is like that.
No.
Yes.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, Drew.
Yeah.
No.
I had a guy call me. I hadn't seen him like 12 years the other day. I was like, whoop, whoop, boom, right back.
No.
Yes.
Now you have. I talked to him.
No, he didn't.
He said he just felt bad for you. And he was in town, and he found out about it, so he had to call
you. Oh, they're all intellectuals and writers and stuff, too.
Yeah, yeah. Just a lot of beard scratchers and mock turtlenecks saying indubitably. All right. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. Ooh. Genevieve Gorder is, it's an attractive last name, is coming in from TLC's town hall. They've been plugging the hell out of this show. She's like redoing an entire town.
Wow.
Saw a commercial for it tonight.
Cool.
Yeah, it's from the Learning Channel. Although they got rid of the, I was meeting with some TLC guys yesterday. They're like, hey, it's TLC now. It's not the Learning Channel.
Right,
We got the learning out of there.
Right.
Because it's like, it's a bummer. People hear about, oh, man, what? Learn. Yeah. Freak out. No, it's like hearing liver. Oh, maybe the L stands for liver now.
Nice.
Yeah. So I think it's like Lucifer now it stands for. But learning. Lucifer would be more popular than learning.
Yeah.
People are like, hey, I want to sit down and learn. Forget you.
But the Lucifer channel, I'm in.
Yeah. I would watch that. Yeah, we got all devil themed. We got like Damnation Alley and a Devil Dog Hound from Hell and a Devil's Triangle.
Bad Ronald.
Well, bad that he didn't have the devil.
No.
No, but you could show The Exorcist. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Devil used to be huge in the 70s, you guys. He's gone now. He doesn't really pop up too much anymore, but he was really popular. he had his own stretch of ocean. Is that popular? I mean,
Ocean TV series.
Yeah,
movies.
He was awesome. He was basically land based, but he was amphibious. Like, because he would head out to Bermuda to the Devil's Triangle
and suck down airplanes.
Well, sucking down airplanes, ships.
Yeah, whatever it felt like.
Yeah. How many? Growing up in the 70s, Drew. Mm-hmm. How many times did you see this shot? The compass spinning around. Weird Dutched camera with the compass spinning around.
Yes.
That always meant you were in the Devil's Triangle. Compass, just spinning like a dreidel. Yeah, Devil's Triangle. Yeah, all right. And by the way, compass spinning around, does that mean you have to actually plow the plane into the water?
Immediately.
That's how it works?
Yeah.
So if you're in an airplane and the compass starts spinning, they just push the yoke straight down and just plow right into the ocean. Okay, all right. Yeah, that was considered an incredible special effect in the 70s too. We got a compass that spins around, amazing. Yeah, ooh, that's scary stuff. Compass spinning around when they take the camera and they Dutch it, they turn it a little sideways. Yeah,
I need to see a picture of a plane over a stretch of ocean.
Yeah, plane over a stretch of ocean, compass spinning around, Dutch the camera. Yeah. That's how you know the person dies, when their head hits the rock after they fall too, when the camera. Dutches, when the camera leans to one side, that's how you would know the person died. Mm-hmm. As opposed to hop up and go, man, that hurt. That means you're dead. When you do that, when you're lying on the ground, they turn the camera sideways. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
That's dead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how you know. Ryan?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
My girlfriend, like, I try to get her to go down on me, but every time I do, like, she says she doesn't like the taste of my penis. But, like, I'm a really clean guy, but, like, I don't understand, like, how it could taste bad. I thought it was just, like, normal.
You mean the skin or what comes out of it?
Yeah, the skin. She doesn't like the taste of it.
Mm. She just doesn't like to have oral sex.
Yeah.
Like, no, she says she doesn't mind just the taste. Like, I don't know. Is there something I can do? Like...
This is probably bogus because this is really...
Not a question.
Sort of a non, is there something I can do?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Here's what you can do. Take a piece of Duke, work it like they're putting pine tar on a bat, and then roll it in sprinkles.
Well, that also might be because.
There you go. Yeah.
Listen, nice bogus question, Dillweed.
Hey, I love you, Adam.
Thanks, buddy. All right. Here's how you know it's a bogus question. So I just want to know what to do.
Yeah.
I want to know what to do.
Yeah. What do I do?
What do I do? What do I do? She doesn't like the taste of my penis.
Help.
What,
help.
Help. What do I do? Well, you could wash your penis. I'm sure you thought of that.
But then rubbing in Duke, maybe you didn't think about that. That's the Corolla method. Duke and sprinkles.
Well, what I do...
is you roll in Duke.
No, what I do is I've actually carved a opening into my bed.
Mm-hmm.
I put one of those long, clear barber containers.
The blue barbicide.
I sleep with the junk in that...
The barbicide, sure.
In the barbicide.
Sure, who doesn't?
Sleep on my belly. I tuck the junk into the thing. If you climb under the bed, it looks bigger.
Oh,
you know, it's like when they take a squid and they put it in formaldehyde.
Sure, it looks good.
I mean, it's big.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. So it looks average. That's... And I just tuck the sack in there too.
Why not? While you're
and
at
that's
it.
How I sleep.
It's good.
Yeah, during the winter I'll warm it a little bit.
Prevents wrinkles. Nice.
Oh yeah, supple.
Your D'Artos tunic has far fewer wrinkles in it.
No, my sack looks like a handball.
Yeah, it's nice.
Whereas yours looks like a turkey snack.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
100-year-old Dennis. Oh Christ.
Dennis.
I'm just thinking of the actor that played Little Big Man. Remember his face and when he was at the beginning of the film?
Oh, Dustin
Hoffman. Dustin Hoffman, yeah.
Yeah, looked like Dustin Hoffman's face trying. From Little Big Man. Yeah, there you go, Drew. All right, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah. What's up, y'all? It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's get right back to the phones and speak to Sylvia, who's 21. Sylvia?
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Well, I have some questions for you guys. I thought that you might be able to help me. Basically,
yeah.
I got into a situation where I was modeling with an agency in Canada, and what they do with models that are starting out, I don't know if you've heard of it, the agency is called Next. It's kind of like on par
sure.
with Ford or one of those agencies.
Whatever. I know all the Canadian modeling agencies.
Whatever, yeah.
You do? Okay, so anyway, I was living in a modeling apartment that was in a separate apartment below the agency director's house.
Yeah.
And so basically, like, a lot of my experiences while I was there included this guy being, he's pretty much stoned all the time, and he would try and get me stoned all the time and offer me alcohol. And I had a boyfriend that was actually friends with him, and he would say things to me, like once he said to me, I would be doing you right now if... you didn't have a Matthew wasn't your boyfriend.
So what's with your parents? They send you off to this white slave camp.
Well, when I was 18, I went to New York to find a modeling agency, and I hooked up with my boyfriend, and I went to Canada.
What's with your parents? They send you away to a white slave camp.
She was 18. She went to go on her own. She wanted to go to pursue modeling in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what with exquisitely poor judgment?
My
what's
dad
going
lives on? In Australia, and my parents have been separated since I was 1.5, and my mother did make a bad choice, and she knows that. But it.
Well, hold on a second. I mean, she brought in a predator into the house?
No,
No. I
think it's the modeling part that.
What?
When I was. I'm American. I moved to Canada to do that when I was...
But what's your mom's bad choice?
Well, that she just let me move to another country.
I see. So you think you wish she had contained some of your enthusiasm a little bit, huh?
Well, she kind of knew that I was really unhappy and that I wasn't being treated very well.
Sylvia, you need to go back to school. You're like, you can't even, like, track...
I'm sort of following her, but I'm picturing her as very hot, so
yeah.
More forgiving.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a second. Drew, she's a model. What do you want?
I want her to go back to school and become a human. By the way, the modeling part, if she really were that talented, she wouldn't have been making all these crazy decisions and getting exploited like that.
Well, first, let me say a few things, Drew. Modeling is hard work.
Yes.
That's number one. Number two... it's about how you feel inside, okay? It's not about...
Number three, she was a tomboy.
Yes, tomboy.
She never intended to be a model. No. Ever. Somebody put up for a contest.
Yes. That's the thing. It's not about what you look like on the outside. It's about, you know, the real models, the real, you know, supermodels. It's about what's on the inside. It's about what they exude. They exude sexuality. No, they don't exude sexuality. Guys want to F them because they're hot. That's different than exuding sexuality.
It's like your car exuding sexuality, right?
Yes. What? Yeah. Here's the thing, too. You don't need to exude sexuality when you got the nice features. You just don't. That is it. I don't care what you exude. You could exude an orange push-up out of your ass. I wouldn't care what you exuded. Just hold still and let me F you.
Well, that's why guys are so interested in the pictures. There's nothing being exuded in those pictures, just
oh,
the form.
No. Au contraire.
Just the form.
Look at her eyes. Yeah. Yeah, through the heroin haze, you can see her exuding her sexuality.
Yeah.
I love that. It's like anything but just admit they're hot and leave it at that. Oh, it's got to be her how she's so expressive with her eyes. It's got to be how the camera loves her and she loves the camera. It's got to be how she lights up when the camera's in front of her. She exudes sensuality. She looks hot in a bathing suit. Guys, look at the pictures and beat off. Don't turn into more than that.
It's very simple with men, isn't it?
Yes.
Very simple.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It's exactly what it's like. Yeah, that Corvette exudes sexuality. No, it looks
it's the
good.
The inside of the Corvette.
I would like to drive it. Yeah. That's how it works with guys. That looks nice. I would like it to be mine.
Yes.
I would like to get into it. I would like to drive it around, and I want to leave it in my garage, and I want other guys messing with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I feel about that good-looking car.
Yes.
Now, the Vega wagon, I don't care if Chanel number 5 comes out of the exhaust pipe. I ain't interested.
Yeah.
I don't like the way that one looks.
Uh-huh.
Exuding sexuality. See, what we do is modeling is just a sort of mindless cosmic roll of the dice. Some chicks happen to be piping hot at 15 and 16, so they get to go to Europe and they get to dance around and make a ton of money. For some reason, calling it a sort of roll of the dice, meaning, you know, Cindy Crawford's parents got together, created some sort of incredible batch that created this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's it. All of them. Giselle, all of them. The one who broke her hip in the tsunami and everything. They're just smoking hot.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
We can't accept the whole sort of cosmic roll of the dice part, and the part they don't like the fact that it has nothing to do with them, so they start attributing all these things to them. Well, you know, I exude sexuality, I'm very sensual, and the camera loves me. Hey, you look good in underpants. That's it. They don't do that with guy models, by the way.
Mm-mm.
Guy models, it's easy. It's like he's got a cleft in his chin that could hold a taco. And he's got six-pack abs and tight ass. Look at him. What do you want?
Bring it on.
Yeah, this is no guy that exudes sexuality. He looks great with his shirt off. Done. We don't have to make excuses. Chick, somehow it's bad. So if you just admitted you're good-looking and people want to take pictures of you in your underpants, that somehow would be a very shallow existence. So we have to attribute all these things. And then once in a while, we'll send you to Washington. You can speak to the Senate about the rainforest.
Oof.
Awesome. Then we start giving you stuff to talk about. All right. Yeah. Stupid models. Sylvia?
Yeah.
Okay. So you exude sensuality. Yeah?
So why all the bad...
I think that you guys are absolutely right, and I think that what disturbs me is that a lot of young girls they are naive, and it's just...
Well, that's my point, Sylvia. I blame the parents because you are naive because you're 17 or whatever you are when you get sucked into this thing, and it really is up to the big people who are responsible for you to help shape you and guide you and not become exploited.
Sorry, well, that makes me feel better because I kind of felt like a long time.
Hold on with the S word, and it sounds like a delight though. But here's the thing, what are you going to say? Your dad's never been on the scene. You're 17, you're hot, your 18th birthday rolls around, you're going to New York to model. You think mama is going to stop you from her apartment and her crappy job?
Well, that's the unfortunate part about being a single parent, whether it's just mom or just dad. It is a hard battle one-on-one. You got to have two-on-one.
Right.
You can't be in a zone or man-to-man. You got to have a
double
team.
All right.
You got to be double teaming.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. Because otherwise the kids will run roughshod over you. And that's, you know, there's a guy that does study. I'm blanking on his name right now, but he does studies of
like attachment. Anybody would know.
Yeah. It's got University, I think it's Wisconsin. He does attachment stuff and he studies. And he said, you know, what's the one thing you would give these women, single moms? He said, just a supportive partner. That's the one thing they need in order to do their job.
Sylvia.
Yeah.
Don't use the S word on the air, please.
I won't do it again.
Okay,
or the F word or the C word.
All right, let me try to get to the bottom of this. You go to New York to model. You end up going to Canada to model.
Yeah.
They put you in one of those modeling apartments.
Yeah.
Sometimes have tons of chicks in them. That's crazy. Anyway, and then all the all the agents want to get in there. All right, mm-hmm. and there's a guy who's involved with the modeling agency who's sort of a stoner who makes rude comments and comes on to you.
Yeah.
All right, but so what?
There's a lot of other sketchy things that I had noticed the longer that I stayed there between.
Yeah. All right. Well, you go to Canada to model, you're going to get some dicey guys who want to sleep with you, but then what?
Right.
All right, but what's the big deal? I mean, you know, it's not a pleasant experience, but it's not going to ruin your life, is it?
No. I think that that helped me to decide that that's not what I wanted to do.
You don't want to model.
Go to school.
All
go
right.
to school.
What do you, well, and why yes, do you need to go yes. to school?
To develop. Figure out what you want to do.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have done that in between. I went to a good school in between.
Where'd you go?
Chapman University. It's a film school. It's on, like, they're competing with USC right now. They're going to have the
You're
largest...
You're talking about down in Orange County by Disneyland?
Yeah, they're going to have the largest backlot of any film school in the country.
Well, and Sylvia's working all the time in film.
Working on it, yeah.
All right, baby doll. And what's up now? You working? No more modeling?
No, I'm actually, I'm a storyboard artist now. I've been, I got a job doing that, so.
Good.
That sounds cool.
Good. No, and by the way, don't sell yourself short. It's not luck, because you're hot. You went in there, and there's like, who you want to hire? The chick with the big dumper? Or the hot chick to do the storyboards? Hire the hot chick.
Well, it can be a liability, too.
Look, that's hot chicks?
Yeah.
Let me tell you. I tell you, I watch these news magazines every Friday night.
What the hell's the matter with you?
That's my night to sit home and watch news magazine shows.
That's your toys.
That's my toy. I'm Tommy Fu all of a sudden. So here's the thing. They do these tests, obviously. And again, they run out of material every once in a while. They do these tests. And that's every second show. They've run out of stuff to talk about.
Right.
Scott Peterson has cooled off, you know. So instead of interviewing Scott Peterson's dog using a psychic, they do these things where they do these sort of no-duh tests. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, it turns out two glasses of red wine a day turns out to be good for you. Mm-hmm. And a little caffeine. Yeah. Thanks, a-holes. Mm-hmm. They do this one. They take the ugly chick, and they have her break down by the side of the road, and they have all these people just drive by, and then they have the hot chick break down on the side of the road, and they have everyone stop and try to help them. Then they have the ugly chick go in and try the interview for the job. Then they have the hot chick go in and try the interview to the job, and they do the same with guys. It works the same with guys.
Oh, it does work the same? Guys, they have a sort of a threshold where guys start to do worse the better they look.
No, we don't.
We
we do not.
How dare you?
How dare you say we do, because we do not. Literally a beautiful millionaire. So my point is good-looking guys, good-looking women.
Have it easier.
Well, you're attracted to them, aren't you? In a way that's bigger than any form, that bigger than hiring someone for a job.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't it fall under that umbrella?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to F them... and you want to sire their kids, would it be okay if they worked at your photo man?
Right, you
want
to be around them.
Yeah, that's really nothing compared to all the other things you'd like to do to them.
Right, right.
Or for them.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Right, makes sense, right?
Yeah.
All right. Listen, I'm not gonna kid anybody. I know why I'm here. Clearly. The point is I know it.
Right.
I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I work at it. I didn't just get this way. You don't just wake up in the morning and look like this.
Right. You have to put some work in.
You got a regiment, of course. You got to work at it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help. I'm not going to make myself ugly. I'm not going to take
not.
A soldering iron to my face.
Although you thought
so
about
I can
it.
Even the playing field. Mm-hmm. I realize I got this radio gig because of my But it was, you know, matinee idol type looks.
God given gift, and that you're not going
to. I have to come in here and prove it every night, but obviously, the cash register. Yeah,
that got you in the door.
That got me in the door. I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you. Okay. I like when people say "okay" a lot. Oh, okay, okay.
You hear
okay.
me,
Michelle? Obviously, you see what's going on here.
Oh, I see it.
I mean, if you're interested in the fellas, this
I can appreciate.
This fella would be at the top of the list,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
All right.
But you can't appreciate it, you just sort of understand.
Well, I understand.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and I could turn you out, by the way.
You're lesbian.
I could bring you back. There's no doubt in my mind. I just tell you, your lady better hope I don't ever set my sights on you.
What makes a good-looking girl for you?
Ooh. That's interesting. Yeah, what are you into?
I mean, just like the normal person, I guess.
Well,
I mean,
no.
You know?
See, we're males, and so that what's normal for us would not be normal.
Beautiful, I think.
So who's somebody?
Angelina Jolie.
Mm. Yeah, dig her.
Hot. All right, Charlize Theron.
Mm. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're one of us. I could still turn you around. But, no, she's...
Do you like the jugs like Adam does?
She's a dude.
No, I don't look at that. I look more at the face and the body.
Yeah.
Well, that's the body.
Well, I don't stare at...
She's not a big jug gal.
Not a big jug gal.
But, you know...
But Angelina...
She's got a nice rack, and I'm, you know, down with her, and I'm down with Charlize. I mean, these are good calls.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just, what is it that she looks at?
I wonder. So
guys will break down parts and things. They'll laser into different areas.
Girls will do that, too. You know.
On girls?
Yeah.
Do they do that on guys, too?
Oh, definitely. I have a lot of straight girlfriends that just say, oh, yeah, I like his butt, or I like his chest.
Yeah, but they're like, okay, what's for dinner? You know what I mean? They're not. There's no desire attached to that, no drive.
Well, I don't.
No, there is. Yeah. I have a girlfriend, a straight girlfriend, who's loves the male anatomy.
The phallus.
Yes, and
really?
She's just obsessed with it.
She was abused. Mm-hmm. She's a kid.
Don't bring her around here, by the way. Here's what I'm saying, Drew.
We got to talk to her, by the way. Bring her in here.
I also wonder in the lesbian community if there a portion of the community is just attracted to women like we're attracted to women, and then there's a portion of the community that wants the dude cheese. You know what I mean? The butch.
Oh.
You know what I mean? They're not looking,
looking for a butchy,
a beautiful woman. They're looking for a lesbian lumberjack kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. to be almost the dude.
Yeah.
And what about this thing I heard that there's sort of a secret in the lesbian community that's sort of not talked about, that very frequently lesbian couples cease having sex after about 6 months?
I think that's a myth. That's just like the whole married thing.
I've talked to a lot of couples where they just sort of, without the penis, without the drive there, is just sort of,
the guy's not pushing it along.
Right.
Hmm.
Well, like a married couple, doesn't the sex die? After.
Not for the passionate Pinskys.
Not for the exactly. Well, I've actually
mini series
been,
coming to Fox. The passionate Pinskys. Three parter. Should have been four. So much passion.
Hormones flying all over the screen.
That's right. Yeah. What'd you say? Is flying.
Hormones.
There's so much passion in this room.
Well, look. Let's point is we don't want to digress. I'm hot. You want me? Drew's passionate. Let's get back to the phone.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying.
Done.
Justin?
Yeah?
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, I had a question about... I heard Drew say a couple times that you shouldn't, like, spank your kids because it'll make them develop weird or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if he could recommend, like, a book or maybe just tell me...
How old are your kids?
She's just turning 2.
Time out for toddlers. Time out for toddlers, it's called.
Time out for toddlers?
It's indisputable that physically abusing your kids is harmful.
Nah.
It will stop the behaviors briefly and will create more truancy long term. Indisputable. It's absolutely not open for discussion anymore. Now, should you never strike your kids? That's disputable. Because sometimes you need a behavior to stop now, like they're running in front of traffic or something.
Yeah, say like the kid gets you a warm beer.
Then you whack them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she's just gotten into where she's been, because my wife babysits, she's just gotten into where she's been, like, biting a lot, like the other little girl my wife babysits.
By the way, normal behavior.
Biting?
My kids, when they were 2, had huge bite marks all over their face and forehead.
They would bite each other.
Oh, yeah. crazy. They grab each other by the head and pull their face in.
Yeah, I guess you do biting when you're...
One and a half. One and a half is normal biting.
All right. Well, read that timeout for toddlers.
All right. Great. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. There you go.
Good times.
I got to write a book for kids.
Oh, yeah.
I got to do that.
Yeah.
Billy?
What's it going to be called?
Well, you know my kid's book, Chemo Skinny Calves.
K-I-M-O?
Yeah, chemo.
He lives in the islands.
He's a Samoan guy.
He lives in the islands, but he's got skinny calves.
He's a huge,
he's a Samoan guy.
He's a big Samoan guy.
But got skinny calves.
Pencil thin calves.
Now, don't tell me the plot just yet, but does it end up that everyone wants to have skinny calves? Or everyone has skinny calves?
No.
Does he get huge calves?
No, his calves remain. You can't really change your calves that much. You know, whatever shape they are, big or small,
that's about the shape.
How dare I? Chemo skinny calves, mm-hmm. as they call them. They make fun of him. You know? He's in this Samoan village. I don't know where Samoa is or American Samoa. I always think it's Hawaii.
Well, there are villages there anymore.
I don't know how it goes. I'm not sure where it is. But the point is he's there, and they all have big calves, okay? And his name's Chemo. And his dad, and his, you know, of course, his brother has to be a big warrior and a big, you know, champion into whatever the
Chemo,
sport they
the
play.
Chemo, the small calf Samoan.
It's got a little bit. It's got a little Rudolph thing. Calves. And everyone's saying, and he has skinny calves, and they make fun of him.
Yeah.
And he's an outcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then one foggy Christmas,
they
Eve.
Send him packing.
Yeah.
They send him out of the Samoan village.
Yeah.
And because his calves are too skinny.
Hey, why reinvent the wheel? Let's just do another Rudolph. It's perfect.
No, this is nothing like that.
Oh, I'm sure.
And they send him up. Well, he had a red nose, and this guy's Samoan, and he has no calves.
Okay, got it.
Okay, one is a deer, okay?
This is a dude.
One's a Laplander that has a Christmas bulb for a nose. This guy's a Samoan guy with skinny calves.
He's sent packing.
Sent packing. Has to leave town, and, he's out on his own. And then what happens is the keys to the town fall through a sewer grate.
Ah.
And they can't get to them.
Right.
And no one's arms are long enough to reach them.
Right. And their calves can't fit through the grate.
They're too big.
Too huge.
They're huge, but not Chemo. Chemo's these skinny calves. Well, they call them Chemo skinny calves. Mm-hmm. He's able to reach his foot through the sewer grate, grab the keys with his toes.
Keys to the city.
To the city. Yeah. He's able to unlock the city and open it up again. And he becomes a hero. And
something missing.
No, that's there's nothing missing. That's
needs
the
to
story.
Be, needs to be a jolly mayor.
Yeah, there's a big well his dad his dad's a big his dad, you know, his dad.
It comes to him.
His dad is the village elder.
It's a Chemo with your legs so thin.
No. It's not like Rudolph. It's a totally different thing.
Totally, I see how different it is. Totally.
A totally different thing. Well, that's the whole thing about all these crappy children's stories. It's all the same crap. It's never, hey, this kid's really just and really popular, and all the chicks love him, and he's a great champion on the sports. No, he's the outcast. Mm-hmm. He's the black sheep.
Goes
to the
Isle of Misfits.
And then instead of going and killing himself like he normally would do, he comes back, and he's the hero.
Why don't you put a little modern twist in it? He becomes a cutter. Starts cutting on himself.
Well, they do tribal. Tribal tats.
But he goes a little crazy with it.
He does the tribal tats.
He starts cutting, bleeds a little excessively.
Well, they do that cut because they keloid those people. So they do that thing where they scar. They do the scar thing. Yeah.
Chemo, skinny calf keloid forming cutter.
I think that's worry, but we can work it out. Okay. The point is, you know, beautifully illustrated. I don't illustrate it.
No.
But they draw the guys with their shirts off and it's like Hawaiian skirts, you know, and he's got the skinny calves.
Nice.
Okay. It's a Chemo skinny calves.
Mm-hmm.
It's done.
Miniseries.
It's done, right?
Yeah.
All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. Right back after this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ready?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, Drew.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's been on hold for 14 minutes. I'm going to let it get to 15.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you don't want to say, I was on hold for 114 minutes. People are like, let the baby have his bottle. But if you say 115, people are like, oh, holy Christ. All right.
Let it go to 15.
And where is he?
3.
All right. Now, do I hit the hold thing or I just punch it?
6. Just punch it.
7, 8, 9.
115. Here you go.
Pow.
Leo?
Hey, guys.
Leo?
Oh, baby doll, 115 minutes.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Sorry, what's going on?
I'm the father of three.
Leo?
Hello?
You're the father of three?
Right, three kids. They're my wife's previous marriage.
Mm-hmm. How long did you adopt? Did you adopt them?
No. The father still got.
You said you're the father of three. How long have you considered yourself their father?
2 years.
2 years. And how old are they?
7, 5, and 3.
So they wouldn't so much consider you their father, would they?
Well, we have a really good relationship. The oldest one, she wonders about her father. He's in prison, mm-hmm. and she's having some issues about why he did what he did.
What'd he do?
Beating on women and drugs.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He's been writing letters to me and my wife about taking the kids up there to see him.
Sure.
And being as young as they are, I was thinking that might be not just a good idea to take them to that kind of environment.
All right, Leo. Well, let's figure out a few things. You're married to her, right?
Apparently, yeah.
Practically, is that what you said?
You know, yes, I'm married.
Okay. So.
Did you say her name was Brandy?
No, Amanda.
Oh. So you are married to her?
Right.
How long have you guys been married? Is it 2 years?
2 years.
2 years. 2 years. All right.
Okay, and you think of the children as your own, which is great. So I have a few questions. When does this guy get out of the joint?
8 years.
Mm. 8 years.
Wow.
And does your wife... Now, we worry that she's chaotic.
Right, that she would choose to be with a guy like
that. She would choose to be with a guy like this. Lets us know. Yes?
You know, she's had a rough life as... between her mother being a little off and then the abusive relationship, but she's really turned out pretty stable.
All right. And, so here's my
opinion. Right. She turned out pretty stable, but she had three kids with a criminal.
Right, right.
Okay,
is she doing drugs too?
What's that?
Is she doing drugs?
She, no.
Did she used to?
No, she she never has. She's smoked a little bit of pot.
Okay. Now she is. So first off, we worry, and now she's a little older. How old is she?
27. I mean, you say she smokes a little bit of pot. You mean like once a month, kind of thing?
Well, maybe a handful in her lifetime.
Okay. So nothing.
All right. Here's the thing, Leo. We just hope that she's done acting out, that she's calmed down and becoming a mother. And not pursuing this sort of chaotic lifestyle that her past would set a trajectory that her past would set her on.
Yes.
Right.
And you being the world's nicest guy sometimes...
get swept away by all this.
They can test you a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Is she doing any of that?
No, not at all. So.
No testing. All right, that's good. So I feel like when you go into the joint, you sort of relinquish your rights as a dad.
Yeah,
that's me.
Well, on the other hand, let me say this, that the children, because they tend to blame themselves and assume they've done something that makes the father stay away, for them to actually see that dad is being restrained somewhere, it's not because of them, this is who he is, it could have kind of a positive impact rather than being mysterious or them being feeling responsible for it.
They seem too young to go to the joint,
Well,
though.
The 7-year-old, though, I was thinking in particular, it's a girl, to say, hey, this is your dad, your dad's an addict. It's a bad disease. It made him do these things. He loves you. He can't come visit you. Here's why. Look at the intensity of the circumstances he's in. Otherwise, he'd come visit you.
Yeah. This is all based on the dad not breaking down and screaming weird things at her, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You know, your mother put me here! you know what I mean?
Yeah. I haven't asked her if she wants to go. She knows where he's at. She was having some issues about why he went and why he made the decisions to go there.
No,
decision to go to jail. The decision to go to jail.
Well,
what are you talking about?
No, he's just a little nervous. Listen, Leo, Here's how I think you should approach it. I agree with my almost gay partner, Drew, when I say that your kids, especially the oldest one, should understand that daddy's over here because he had a disease. Yeah. And that was, he was addicted to drugs. And this is what happens to you. You do things that you wouldn't normally do. Has nothing to do with you.
Right.
Has everything to do with this disease.
Right.
And now, really for his own safety, they've collected him and they put him somewhere where he can't do drugs. And after a while, he won't want to do drugs anymore, and he'll get better, and then they'll let him out again.
And in the meantime, he would come. He would have been visiting you if he could have, but he can't. He's stuck here.
Right. Yeah, that's what I've been telling her.
There you go. And just look, keep, you know, obviously the kids are going to have feelings about this.
Yeah.
I still don't totally trust his wife.
Yeah.
I don't know about
kids with the guy.
You have three kids with essentially a Hell's Angel. Ooh. And then all of a sudden, some guy, you know, 4 years your junior, comes waltzing in, the world's nicest guy, and everything's hunky dory again.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for her to make her move.
Yeah.
Weird acting out, weird something.
Yeah.
Just keep an eye on her. All right. Shocking that she came from some abuse.
No way.
True?
Impossible. How could that work?
I don't know.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
It's mysterious.
I don't know. Yeah. No one can ever
random.
Know.
Random.
It's all random. Yeah. No one ever knows. No, we only know things that are just sort of pure mechanical science stuff. That's all. You know, we know that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, if your dad had male pattern baldness, you might have it too.
Right.
Outside of that, emotionally, sociologically,
can't
we don't know.
Anything.
We know nothing. We don't know anything about that. We certainly couldn't head off any of the stuff at the past. Couldn't stop these people from crapping out whole broods with criminals. No, we're not going to stop that. I wonder what percentage of guys in the joint have kids as opposed to the percentage outside of the joint that have kids. It's probably
much
alarming.
Higher, much higher.
Yeah. It's right up with their up there with the amount of guys in the joint that are big Jesus fans. Yeah, another alarming rate. Point is your average, like, here's how I would lay it out. Let's just take your average 23-year-old guy. Your average 23-year-old guy outside of the joint has 0.65 kids.
If that, yeah.
I don't know, because I'm going around the country, and I'm thinking about all these 23-year-olds that have 2-3 kids.
All right.
We talked
to. All right, 0.65, all right.
Not around here.
No, you're right. I was thinking about yes kids or no kids, but you're right. The kids that have yes kids.
No, but all we got is gays and actors out here.
Right, right. You're right. It's more than one oftentimes. That's what skews it up. Yes, okay.
Okay, more than one skews it up.
Yeah, 0.65, right? Good.
All right.
In the joint?
In the joint, it's got... Yeah, I don't know. It might be like 0.13 or something.
Oh, really? Right, you're right.
Take 20. First off, 23-year-old guys in the joint have been out on their own doing their thing since 15.
Right. You're right.
That's 23. They're old men.
I was measuring it in a scale of one.
They didn't go into prison after college.
Yeah, you're right.
They're doing their thing.
They're on
banging chicks.
Rambling, yeah.
And on top of different assorted women from 15.
And rolling down the river.
And not using condoms.
Right.
These guys were on top. You know, these guys may have three kids from three
chicks.
Yeah,
you're right.
At 20, 21.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would love to know that staggeringly
Michelle, you want to try to find
disappointing
it?
Fact.
So,
yeah.
What would you say? Average. How'd you look that up?
I have
prison population, numbers of children.
I would just be curious what
what
the average 23-year-old male has in this country. Forget about the joint for a minute.
What would the descriptor be? Yeah.
First, you'd have to figure this one out.
Average number of children per 23-year-old, something like that.
Come on. You figure it out. And by the way, that was engineer Chris Sanders. Head would just explode right now. You'd be wiping your glasses. You'd be like wiping brain matter off of your glasses. Be it. He could still run the board with no head, but it's just boom.
Probability of fatherhood for 23-year-old for prison population. Probability of fatherhood for...
All right, Michelle, look that up. We're going to take ourselves a little break.
Yeah.
118, 100 minutes. Hold on a second. Billy?
Yeah?
By the way, you went to him like 3 times and hung up and put him back on hold.
I don't remember that. Billy?
Yeah?
You never met your out-of-state girlfriend?
Yeah.
You want to know if you should go visit her?
Yeah, she's wanting me to come up there and hers. She said when I get up there, she was wanting me to stay for a little while, and she said about a month after, she said we might consider marriage.
Where is up there? Where does she live?
Well, is he hood?
She lives in Texas.
Okay.
Up there,
and
down
you're,
there.
You're out. You're calling from England?
No.
No.
I'm from
France?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Whoa. Wow. You just when you think you know something.
And how did you meet her?
She's my ex. Well, she's one of my friends' ex-girlfriends.
How did you meet?
He met her on internet. He met her on internet.
So she was his girlfriend across the internet, and they never met either?
Yeah.
And then you stepped in, never having met her.
Well, I stepped in. I was talking to her as a friend over the phone still, and she...
Wow, and you guys, no one's ever met this girl.
No, she came out and told me that she loved me.
You met her?
No. She came out over the phone and told me that she loved me. And
how old is she?
Over the friend.
How old is she?
She's 20.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Better yet, how much does she weigh? Because first he met the dude in Oklahoma, bam, there's 50 pounds.
Had
the thing with the friend, now you're up at 225, 230, then fell in love with the sight unseen. And okay, just hang on there, Billy. We got to take a break. Try to get to the bottom of this sort of semi-retarded fantasy you're living in after this. Yeah. Love line of Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Let's get back to phones.
We'll finish with Billy.
Finish with Billy.
Yeah.
All right, Billy. You have a girlfriend. You're in Oklahoma.
Have you ever had a face-to-face girlfriend?
Yes, I have.
In your life?
Yes.
How long were you with her?
I was engaged for 2 years.
And what happened with that?
She went off and cheated on me, and
she up and cheated.
Yeah,
it's banjo. And how long ago was that?
It's been about a year now.
So you were 17 to 19, and then you started hanging out on the web and sort of losing yourself in the cyber world, huh?
Well, I had a couple girlfriends since then, but
face to face.
Yes.
I don't understand what the attraction is then. If you're 20 and you've been with women and you certainly are capable of...
What's so great about this one?
Getting a woman, why this fantasy one?
I don't know. She's just a nice person. So far I've noticed.
Have you seen any pictures of her?
Nice. Hold on. Yeah. Are you in prison?
Huh?
This is what you do when you're in prison. A nice person?
Are you wheelchair bound or something?
Well, was talking about a while ago, you all was talking about her being a little bit overweight. Look at that. I look at what the personality is. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, don't be apologizing for that, but go ahead.
Is she a big gal?
She's a little bit. Not much.
Okay. All right. Not much?
No, I'd say maybe 190.
Oh, all right.
How tall?
5'3". All right, Billy. Well, that's no problem. So you've seen pictures of her?
Yes.
When do you think you two can meet up in the flesh?
She's wanting to do it the 17th.
17th, okay.
All right, well, go ahead. Go ahead. Meet up. Find out what you got here. But don't get lost in the fantasy that you're completely tangled up in now.
And Billy Anderson yelled something.
I don't know what, though. He just screamed it.
St. Patrick's Day.
You're going on St. Patrick's Day.
That's good.
Okay, here's the thing, Billy. When you meet up, just make sure it's in a safe, well-lit, well-populated area.
Yeah.
Gal this big just take you down.
Yeah.
For sex on him is nothing. You just have to go down on her for as long until she wanted to let you up. As simple as that.
Many men have been suffocated there.
Yeah, I'm telling you. That's why my dad went that way.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Billy.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't even know what he... Billy even...
I don't know.
Every third call on the show is like, yeah, welcome, Lily. Okay. Yeah, what can we do you for tonight?
Taters.
Got them French fried taters. She lives in Oklahoma. I'm listening to Texas Panning.
We're gonna meet in Odessa. She's I wouldn't call her big, but picture her vagina would weigh 10 pounds.
You know, I saw Friday Night Lights on a flight the other night. He is so good.
You gotta say banana.
I take a banana to her.
Isn't he good?
We're gonna have sex in the smoking cage at the airport in Odessa. With that horny.
Then I hit her with a shovel.
Here's my sling blade. Again, it's like you had a bunch of girlfriends. She's a you got 190 pounder. By the way, 190 pounds on the internet. Hoo-hoo.
Yeah.
Let me.
That was her junior high school weight.
Yeah, that was birth.
Yeah.
That's the doctor's. That's the hospital weight at 190. Yeah. I mean,
but he didn't look at that.
Yeah, let me tell you about the. I mean, there's ups and extras. Ups and extras. All right, anyway.
All right, let's go.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on.
Let's talk about Billy Bob Thornton for a second.
Yeah.
I really am becoming a huge fan of his.
He's a great actor.
Great actor. Wow.
He's a great actor.
I even liked him in Alamo. It made that film worthwhile to me.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, you take Alamo, you take Friday Night Lights, you take Bad Santa.
Sling Blade.
You take Sling Blade. You take all, I don't know, The Man Who Wasn't There. I can't think of his other movies. But you just keep going, and you realize, well, first off, it hasn't been that long.
Sling Blade is where it started.
I know, and you go back and you see these you know, pictures of the guy in these crappy like sitcoms from 1992. You know,
really?
like what?
I didn't know it was in.
Well, the guy, you know, he was just an act. You know, yeah. It was funny. He's like chubby and has a beard and a full head of hair, and it's kind of funny. It doesn't even look like him, and he's trying to, you know, some Angelian project or something that's on UPN, and it's ridiculous. But you realize this guy's not been at it that long. I mean, take a look at his resume over the just the last 5 years.
Wow. It's an
incredible amount of interesting work.
Huh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm a fan.
No, I know. You did New York Minute, and I voiced a claymated Viking.
Look at the body work that we've made.
Yeah. I got to play Death on the Family Guy.
I could play myself.
Natalie?
Yes.
And you're 28? I know. Drew's a horrible actor, except for when he's playing himself, and then he's just bad.
Well, then I'm okay, and then here's what I get. Oh, playing yourself, that's the hardest thing. You play yourself, oh, that's what actors really have trouble with.
Yeah,
I guess I must be a good actor then.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Because, you know, Richard the... I don't know. Who would it be? Richard the... Who am I trying to think
Richard
of?
The Third.
Richard the Third, yeah. Natalie.
Yes.
Sorry, baby doll. Go ahead. You're 28.
It's all good. Yeah. Well, okay. See, here's my situation. I've been married. I've done the whole, you know, been in love, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Natalie, waiting on hold the half an hour, 8 words into her question, and yes, Bob.
Be fair, maybe 9. Yasmin? Uh-oh. Yasmin may fall asleep. She may hold 14. For 82 minutes. Yeah, chicks can't stay up.
And somebody named Yasmin who's 14, you're not going to hear her breathing.
No, she's a petite little flower.
Yeah.
Yasmin? No. She compulsively shoplifts.
That's a pretty bad sign at 14.
When does it become a problem? You should stop that by 14.
Yes.
All kids do a little shoplifting, though, right?
Yeah, but the compulsive shoplifting is a bad sign. Let's take Natalie. Come on.
Jeff?
Come on. Yeah, what's up?
22. Uses pot and booze each day.
Yeah, and, like, when I have nothing to do, I just, like, smoke joints, and I'm, like, wondering, do I need to get a hobby, and my mom has actually been smoking for, like, 30 years, and that's one of the reasons why I stopped talking to her, and my girlfriend thinks that I'm antisocial now.
Well, whatever, you're addicted, and you got to deal with that or not, it's up to you.
Well, how about you stop and see how it goes?
But, you know, when you go to a party, it's okay once in a while, yeah, right?
He's not going to stop.
All right. So when you go to a party, how about you smoke?
You know, one or two.
Yeah, well, go ahead. Look, here's the thing, everybody.
But
Just quiet down and listen to the Ace Man here. do whatever you want as long as it doesn't become a problem. But if it becomes a problem, then you can't do it anymore.
By the way, still do whatever you want. It's fine. It's a free country. But if you if your life is going poorly, you're having consequences, you'd like to change, there's some things that can be done to change it. Because this is a process. It's a biological evolving disorder.
Yes.
That will have multiple consequences as time goes along. If that's okay with you, if it's more important to get high, that's up to you. That's entirely up to
and
you.
And I don't know if people can do this, but I love drinking my red wine. And sometimes at 8:30 at night, I think, yeah, go for a nice glass of red wine.
Ooh, it's getting earlier now. Ooh, dude.
Yeah, but then I think, nah, don't do that. Because then you start doing that, then you got to stop. See, because you start getting into it,
you got to stop. It's a threshold disease, right?
You keep it at that point where it's not really affecting anything, then you get to do it, then you get to keep doing it.
But if you, yeah, you pass that threshold, pow.
Don't do it. I know you can't tell that people have the addiction gene.
Jeff's already gone.
Probably. Natalie?
Yes.
All right, so 28, should she hide her friends with benefits from guys she likes?
So you're screwing a guy that you're friends with. Why would you even consider telling that to a guy that you want to have a relationship with?
No. I'm not considering having a relationship with him, but I don't want to start sleeping with him and then him freaking out that when my friends with benefits does show up.
Yeah. Oh, Natalie, you got, we need more than 2 seconds with you.
You got troubles.
Yeah,
baby.
This is bad news.
At 28.
Jeez. Yeah.
You need therapy. Where's your dad?
I don't need therapy.
All right.
No,
that's
believe
fine.
Me.
We got to go break.
You're fine then. You'll
enjoy.
Land on your feet.
Tell him.
Enjoy.
Tell him. He won't
tell
freak out.
Tell everyone everything.
Yeah.
And give your dad a big kiss from me. If you ever see him again. All right, we'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, that's the show, everybody. What are you going to do?
Genevieve Gorder.
How many people have kids on the inside versus the outside?
Hold on a second. Noe Hernandez, Davis, California, 20, won the shuffle tonight, the iPod shuffle.
Yeah, BFD.
There you go. And how many on the inside have kids?
I actually didn't find a number.
Hey.
All right.
My first failed conquest. I'm sorry.
See, you and Chris in the soup line tomorrow.
Oh.
Huh? Yeah, trying to get soup in a line. It's a line where you get soup. So we call it the soup line.
Okay.
If they had a chili line, I'd get in it. But I'd kind of wait for soup. And maybe a nice beef barley thing, but not any of that miso stuff.
No.
Okay. Let's take a break. That'd be my thing. Like, I'm going to get in the soup line, but you got to tell me what kind of soup.
Yeah.
If it's a minestrone or something, I'm count me in. But if it's some of this namby-pamby brothy stuff or this crappy L.A., you know, faggoty,
it's butternut squash
with a little... No, I don't go for that. I'd say, what kind of soup is in this line? Okay. Take a quick break for about 22 hours. We'll be right back after this. Literally a beautiful millionaire.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.